power of conviction that helps us to see the presence of God in a way that only music can do so. Music has a straight chord to our heart. That's why I think it's such a big industry. Why Apple made all the money they did with music, because they know people find their compassion in music, their hope in music, their vision. Of course, we in the church have been doing music for a long time. It is the center of our being. It's what we're told we will do in heaven for all of eternity. I invite you with your scriptures to turn to Philippians, the first chapter, the 21st verse. These are the words of Paul to the church at Philippi, and he says, "For to me, what to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I am going on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with you, all of you, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, so again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may see this compassion and joy inside of Paul as he writes to this early church and speaks to them of the journey that we are on. Lord, let us realize that we are on a journey. Each step we take draws us closer to the judgment, but more importantly, it draws us closer to the joy. Lord, we pray that today would be such a day that we see our lives in this understanding, that there is a purpose in living, and we are a part of something greater. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's often at moments when you experience the joy of children, of babies, that you realize how important life is, how it means so much to see one so full of joy and love and happiness, and how dependent a baby is upon a mother and father, upon a family unit. Helps us to realize we're alive. Have you realized you're alive yet? Do you know that? You're alive. And that's more than just breath in your lungs. That's more than just different things that are happening in your body or your mind working in certain ways. You're alive. When I was a little boy, years ago, when we lived at the town of Edenton, my father was pastoring the church there. And I remember very clearly the milkman. Now, some of you children have never met a milkman. You don't know what the culture of milkman is, but in the 60s, a milkman was a staple of every community. And the reason is he would come and he would bring milk, and he would bring regular milk, which I love to guzzle, but he would also bring chocolate milk, which mother would allow a jar of that, and she would hide it from me because she knew I drank the whole thing at one time. But the reason I loved a milkman wasn't just the milk, though it was tasty and the chocolate milk was especially good. The reason I loved a milkman is that I would time myself to hit the door when I heard the bell ringing, because he would ring a bell. And I would run out into the yard wide open with my arms are just frailing every which way, chasing down the milk truck, because on the back of the milk truck there was a stoop, there was a step that I would jump up on and grab hold of the bar and ride the milk truck to the end of the street. And for me, that was my first adventure as a young person, going out into my life and my world, riding the milk truck. Well, one day I ran out there and I jumped on the back of the milk truck. And of course, the milkman, did he know I was there? I do not know. But I know on that particular day, I jumped on and it had been raining and that piece of metal was wet. And I just slipped right off the milk truck. I just fell right into the street and I tore my shirt and I got hurt a little bit and I went back home. And my mother, she looked at me and she said, "What did you do?" And I told her, and she said, "Well, you know that's not safe." And I told her, "Yes." And she said, "Well, so what am I supposed to do?" And I said, "I don't know." And she said, "Well, here." And she poured me a glass of tall chocolate milk. And I knew at that moment I was alive. I was alive. Chocolate milk made me realize I was alive. And the reason it did is I had just fallen. I had just gotten hurt. So instead of facing judgment at that moment, my mother, she showed me compassion and love. Instead of fussing at me or grounding me or saying all kinds of things, she poured me a glass of cold chocolate milk. It made me realize what being alive really is. Alive is when you realize you're forgiven. Alive is when you realize you're loved. Being persecuted is not being alive. Being placed in a place of restriction is not being alive. But when you're alive, you're free. You're free to run and enjoy your life, to realize what God has given to you. And that's what Paul is saying to here in this scripture. He's saying, but to me, to live is Christ. He's saying, I only feel alive when I'm doing what Christ would have me do. Now, you have to realize that Paul's journey has been one that was going one direction, and God put him on a journey to another direction. And you know that I'm a firm believer in motion theology. In other words, belief that requires us to move from point A to point B. I am not the type of preacher that will tell you it's fine to sit in Zion. I'm saying it's time to leave the place you are and go to home, go to heaven. I'm not satisfied with what we have tried to create. It's not enough, this world that we live in. Sisters and brothers, a big screen TV is not going to save a soul. The world we created, though it may be comfortable at times, is not enough. And what happens is that people think they're alive because they're surrounded by all the trappings of living, yet they don't realize that alive is not about these trappings. It's about something that is beyond that. And Paul is describing it. He says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Now, people have misunderstood this. They've tried to understand what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying he wants to die. He's saying he wants to be with Jesus. He encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road. He met Jesus. Jesus forgave him. And Paul has spent his life living for Christ, and he's hoping every day draws him closer. And finally, he's found that perfect appointment. Every preacher looks for that perfect appointment. That place where you can come and serve and you can be yourself and you can celebrate the kingdom, and there's not all the drama and trappings that come with appointments and egos with preachers and church and all the ways that it works. And he had found it. Philippi was his perfect appointment. For here in this church, he was loved and they respected him, and he celebrated with them the joy he had in his heart of Jesus, and they celebrated with him their joy they had with Jesus. And Paul is saying, I'm going to be here longer. God's not going to let me go home yet, because I've got to see you again. I've got to celebrate with you the joy. And he says that. He says, what am I to do? And he says this very important thing that pride will stop many from saying, I do not know. Sisters and brothers, there's a lot of things I don't know. And the older I get, the more I realize I do not know. I struggle with the world. Used to be very clear, very cut and dry. But now it's gotten all these shades of gray, and people think one thing and people think another. And I struggle. And as a pastor, I want to be able to say I know, but frankly, I just don't know. I don't understand why these storms are coming one after another. I do not understand why the earth is quaking. I do not understand why man stands against man in tyranny and sorrow. I do not know why threats are being made against our country and against other countries. I do not know why children suffer like they do. I do not know. Do not count that fault to me because I do not know. Maybe count it. Maybe I'm speaking the truth. There's a lot of people that claim they do know, and the truth is they know nothing. They do not understand. They have not put it together. And this mystery called living is a mystery that is indeed hard to figure out. I do not know how we can love a child so much and then a child leave and they get on the milk truck and don't come back. I do not know why, as a parent, our hearts have to cry sometimes for our love to be realized. I do not know why we suffer as we do through the things we have to go through. Sisters and brothers, we do not know how much our neighbor cares, the burdens they carry each and every day, of the illness and sickness they go through, of the sorrow, of the grief that they're bearing. We do not know the misery of the land that we live in, where people are questioning their identity and the very nature of who they are and whose they are, because they do not know. This land does not understand. It does not know. It is a child of God. It is a land of God. It does not know. It's confused, as we are confused. Yet Paul is saying, in the midst of all this confusion, he says, I do not know, but I am torn between the two. I desire to leave and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. In other words, there are some things we can know. And what we know is that being alive isn't what it's all about. The next step is we have purpose. The purpose of living. That's going to be on the screen in a minute. Because purpose is really what it's all about. Just being alive. I mean, being alive is just making the team. I mean, just making the team. What happens when you make the team? So what do you get when you make the team? You get a uniform, right? You get a uniform. You get some shoulder pads, other things. You play football. You make the team, they give you a uniform. Did it give you a number? So what number are you? 44. That's right, 44. That's a good number. I was 67. See, I was known as 67. See, 44 is a good number. 55 is a good number. Any of the repeating numbers are good numbers. They just have a ring to them, you know. 44, you may carry that with you in high school and college. You never know. If you go pro one day and Brad helps you to do that, you may wear 44. We do not know. See, life is not just getting a uniform. It's having a purpose while we're on the team. See, God has given us purpose. Now, years ago in the 1990s, I was working for Drew, the seminary up in Madison, where I earned my doctor's degree, and I was teaching as an adjunct faculty for them and basically designing some web presence and learning. And a good friend of mine who was the dean of the school, his name is Dr. Leonard Sweet, he asked me to contact this pastor out in California and get information for him. So I called the guy and we talked, and I really didn't seem to like the guy, and he didn't seem to like me, because I was demanding he get me audio, because I wanted to take audio and put it online. Now, you got to realize, in 1995, online was AOL dial-up. It was not what we have now with internet. And so this pastor, he was kind of fussing at me because I was a technician type person, and he was saying, well, I want you to make sure it's like real good quality. And I said, man, I can't assure you of that. I said, it's barely going to be AM quality. Your voice is going to be scratchy, and you don't have that strong a voice, by the way, is what I told the man. And he said, that's not nice to say. And I said, but it's true, so I'm going to amplify your voice to make you sound better, but it may not sound like you. And he said, I don't think I can agree to that. And I said, well, I'm the technician, so you have to agree with me or not be online. And he decided to be online. And little did I know, I was making a frenemy with Rick Warren, because that's who the person I was talking to. He was soon to become rich and famous and powerful, and here I am telling him what for. And to this day, I doubt he even remembers me, but if he does, he won't think too kindly of me. Because I was trying to help him to be just a person of importance, because I felt like what he had to say was important for people to hear. And the book that he wrote that you have studied here at this church, The Purpose-Driven Life, it just changed America. It helped us in America to realize that we're not just alive, we're alive with a purpose. We have a purpose. And what is the purpose? Well, for Paul, his purpose was to be back with the Philippians. He wanted to be with them to celebrate the joy he has in Christ and they have in Christ, so that together they can have church together, because he felt so much in love with the people there. This was his perfect appointment. So Paul is saying, my purpose is to go through the struggles I'm going through so I can see you again. I can be with you, and my joy can be complete. I've known it to be the case that a person who is near the end of their journey will wait for someone to come across the land to see them before they leave. Even my father, he waited for my nephew to come from Oklahoma to drive, and those days he waited were important. Even though he was unconscious and not realizing his surroundings, yet God realized and afforded him the opportunity to be there when Wesley came back so Wesley could see him. See, God gives us a purpose even when we don't realize it. We have a purpose in life. And Paul is saying that our purpose is to know that Christ is with us. And he says, I know I will remain. I will continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. It's a hard thing to sell this day and age that we care. Because we live in a world that's been broken in so many ways, and people have been disappointed in even more ways. We live in a world of betrayal and backstabbing at every turn. Yet know this, God loves and God cares for you. And he wants you to live your life with a purpose. And that purpose is to raise a child. That purpose is to love a spouse. That purpose is to be that father or be that mother or be that child. That purpose is to know that life isn't just chasing milk trucks. It's getting off those milk trucks and going back home again so the ones that love you can love you. See, the purpose of life, and that's why our land so desperately needs this gospel of reason, this gospel of purpose. They've been led astray by the misanswers and the unanswers and all the non-answers that are out there, and we need to claim the answer that's found in Christ Jesus. And he says to us that if we live this purpose, we will find something that's wonderful. See, I've always believed it. I've always believed it. There's a rainbow, and at the end of that rainbow, I've always believed there's treasure. Now, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm an idealistic believer and a dreamer. But I believe there's a treasure at the end of this journey. I believe there's a treasure. In the family stories, we had an uncle. He was a little bit weird and different. He weren't really an uncle. He was a cousin, but they called him uncle. And Avery was a strange man. And Avery had this idea that somehow there was treasure buried everywhere. And he would go dig up things to try to find treasure. And Avery's hair used to be dark. And then one night he claims that he tried to dig up some treasure, and a bull come out of the ground and scared him. And after that, his hair was white as a sheep. Now, I never quite believed the story, and you know, most of the family, they laughed about it, and Avery didn't show any signs of having found a treasure because he didn't appear to be any richer than he was before. He had the same old truck and the same old house with the same old life. But something did happen, because Avery's hair changed overnight from being brown to being as white as snow. Now, it could be he stopped using his Grecian formula. I do not know. But I know something happened, because Avery, for some reason, changed. Now, he still sought treasure, but he didn't seek it as much, because whatever happened when he tried to find it that night apparently scared Avery so bad he figured he better not go looking anymore, because it's going to come find him. See, life and its purpose makes all the difference. Do not chase your treasures on earth, because Jesus said the moths will eat it and the thieves will steal it. He's saying, do not chase your treasures on earth. See, when you make a covenant and a bond with a child, that's not just an earthly covenant and bond. That is a heavenly covenant and bond. You have helped to give birth and to nurture and to raise an eternal being who will be with God in heaven, an eternal soul. It is a purpose worth living. Children are worth lives. I think about the sorrow now in North Korea with the children living underneath the regime they are, and the world turns a blind eye towards it, and China profits by it, and Russia profits by it, and the world stands by why this nation suffers and the little children suffer, but their days of suffering will soon be over. Mark my words. And there will be great sorrow in the land. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth as the world comes to see its awesome power and its wrath. But understand, even in that moment when all seems lost, God will rise up again with the purpose of eternal life, and truth will prevail. It will win. I know it looks dark now. I know it looks like it's breaking into pieces. I know we can't even get together and have a game without having a fight anymore about who's standing and who's not. I know this nation is in trouble. I know we've lived a wayward way. I know we're lost, but the power of the gospel is enough to bring us back home again. We're going to fall off that milk truck right on our head. But thanks be to God, we got a home that's waiting for us. We got a father who loves us. We have a mother who cares for us. And we have a glass of cold chocolate milk. Amen. That you can guzzle it all down and it's okay. See, Paul is saying, that's my joy. I want to be with you. I want to come back and be with you and leave this dungeon and leave this prison that I'm in. So he says, whatever happens, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in manners worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what that song, it said. Until then, what? Our hearts were go on crying? No, it says go on singing. Until then. Then whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I know that you stand firm in one spirit. I celebrate that we're here on a day that we got pretty flowers on the altar, don't we, Brad? Little Bailey Rose, third birthday. Look how pretty they are. See the flowers? Aren't they pretty? See those flowers? They come just for a season. Then they're gone. But they're pretty. We celebrate them. They have a purpose. Their purpose is to be beautiful. Their purpose is to honor God, to celebrate life. Their purpose is to honor a child from a family that loves her so much, from mom and dad, and Kyler, and also Cameron, to celebrate a beautiful child. See, God has given us this purpose for our salvation. And that is the purpose of living, that we be saved from the wrath to come. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may grow in this purpose and may know your presence each and every day. Lord, let us know that the more we open our hearts, the more we'll grow in grace towards you. And we have a purpose in life, and that is to live our life to the fullest we can, with abundance and overflowing with joy. And when sorrows try to come in, Lord, let us look to the light. Let us find it, that we may find the path we are to travel. And Lord, let us know we always have home to return to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn number 453. It's a more love to thee, O Christ. 453.